have some self-talk in your own words back here.
As a post-conceptualist who's practiced foreground social critique, his video installation, sound, and public artworks recontextualize appropriated materials to reflect upon and contest our production as subjects under capitalism. Tony's going to present some new work, talk a little bit, he mentioned to me about his use of critical theory texts and other things in his work, and we can watch the work. Tony will say a few things about it. We can ask questions and go. Thanks.
Ask questions. Thanks. I first want to thank Christoph for inviting me. I guess he's gotten to see some of my work through a rather circuitous chain. I borrowed some material that he was involved in the production of for one of my pieces, and so I circulated it back to him, and so he wanted to get a chance to see more and talk a little bit about it. So that's why I'm here. I usually work out of two basic impulses. I usually want to either make work about things that really, really bother me, or things, you know, that intrigue me. Sometimes they're the same thing, sometimes they're different. Sometimes I like to kind of run the two things together and combine them and sort of see what happens when you juxtapose two registers of material together. My general tendency is to see my work as kind of an extension of my process of thinking about how we live and, you know, where we're located socially, institutionally. This usually means that there really isn't anything original in what I do. And sometimes people object to the fact that I take things that they're very familiar with and have some attachment with and combine them with other things. Or my tendency is sometimes to take large amounts of critical material that's meant to be read in one kind of register or one kind of relationship and actually use it in a piece that, you know, is difficult to read. And, you know, they want to know, well, why are you encouraging these sort of slippages and blockages? Or why is it that, you know, I have to read this thing more than once in order to, you know, feel that I'm grasping it? And often, you know, for me, I think it's just a kind of strategic move to get people to kind of think about the possibility of not getting everything and not sort of being in control and not being, you know, kind of central to me. And, you know, the idea being, I guess, that if people want to sit down, read the text, you know, in detail, that's one kind of reading procedure, but something else obviously has to take place in a work that's time-bound and that, you know, you're experiencing either on the fly or in relationship to other things. That sometimes, you know, the best possible reading isn't always possible, so you kind of have to do what you can in a given situation. For me, strategies of copying and recontextualization are means to reflect upon and contest our production of subjects in mediated culture. And I think it's really important for people to get a sense of how, you know, when they are aware of something and how they read something and how it's addressed and how it's put to them. And, you know, maybe even to recognize that they're not the primary audience intended for a given text and what happens when they realize that, you know, wait a minute, I'm reading this, but is this really for me? And if it's meant for me, in what sense, you know, can I make use of it? Can I incorporate it? You know, can I reject it? Sort of like, what's my relationship to the material that I'm looking at? Installation has been kind of central to my practice historically. It's kind of, again, a way that I, you know, work out ideas with material often. In terms of doing installation projects, I'll do an installation first. I'll take material from that installation and rework it into a single channel piece. And that, you know, for a lot of people also is a kind of difficult and irritating habit because, you know, people who think about installation practice as though it's some sort of relative of a kind of modernist, you know, painting or video practice that always wants to locate those features of installation that are only, you know, possible and only useful in terms of installation practice. It's sort of like I reuse things all the time, including, you know, my own material and material that I've quoted from other sources. So I don't have any problem with something being an installation in one iteration and being a single channel tape in another, or showing, you know, information from installation context and single channel viewing circumstances. I'm going to do it today. I don't necessarily believe that just because I think of something in terms of a kind of architectural space or in terms of movement in and out, that that thing couldn't also be looked at in a very different context, in a very different reading condition. That's not to say that they're going to be the same in each of those contexts, but that hopefully there's still something to be read there, and that, you know, there's no need to be too fussy about the particularities of installation as a working form. It's almost as though, for me, medium is as much about convenience and, again, kind of strategic address to a situation in a way of getting information to people. It's not really about, you know, understanding that, you know, well, I understand this is an installation and therefore, you know, it's meant to be addressed in way X, and this is a single challenge tape and that's meant to be addressed in way Y, and never the twain shall meet. In fact, you know, for me, often as not, I will try to contaminate and complicate the histories of all the material that I'm using for my work. And so I feel the same way, actually, about medium and presentation format. For me, it's kind of like optional. And I sometimes even like to revisit materials in what are not exactly the best, you know, viewing and best, you know, reading conditions to see what kind of effect that produces, you know, for me, and hopefully what kind of, you know, differential effect that may have for audiences and readers. I'm going to show a couple of works from a couple of projects. The first two things are two short videotapes that are part of the series about how pop music works, and they also accompany pop music that's been made or things that are meant to say resemble pop music in certain ways by people whose work that I'm familiar with. And it's, I guess, in some sense, an outgrowth of my interest and longstanding interest in collaboration with collaborative forms. I spent about a decade working in a collaborative group that was composed of four people called X-Prize. And one of the reasons why I did that was that in terms of my own sort of working with materials, I always felt that in terms of using sort of massive citation and quotations, that was always, in a certain sense, asking questions about who the author is and who they might be speaking to. And so working with other people kind of was a way of more physically embodying that. And also it's a good way to get access to skills and ideas and working habits that are not necessarily your own, and in some ways it kind of helps you, or at least it helped me for a long time, just avoid my own sort of bad habits in terms of constructing things and what one can do and what one cannot do. So these pieces are kind of an outgrowth of X-Prize. It sort of turned into kind of two-person collaborative at one point towards the end, and it took a long detour into music production, which I'm still kind of working my way out of. But during the time when I was involved in the music production aspect of things, I wrote a series of short critical essays, kind of revisiting some of the ideas and themes that we were working with in terms of our project as a way of kind of thinking through some of those issues for myself and thinking about what, you know, the reading conditions for popular music might be, you know, sort of like how, what it is we expect of recorded music, for instance, or live music, and how, you know, we position ourselves as a leadership to it. And then I wound up at a certain point thinking, oh, wow, it might be interesting to publish these somehow or position these in relationship to music practice, thinking about how often, you know, critical essays do function as a way of kind of positioning reading conditions for works, rather commonly, obviously, in visual art, and sometimes in music making also. And it always interests me sometimes to take the pose of something that already exists culturally and try to use it in a slightly different way than it has been or the way in which I found it. So you'll see two works from that series. And then I'm going to show four sections, two shorts each, of a two-channel installation project that I've been working on recently. It's a much longer and larger project, but I've been working on it kind of contingently and in small sort of units. Again, you know, sometimes I have kind of large scale ideas, but I kind of have to work on them incrementally because you can't always, you know, take the amount of time on a particular project if you want to at one fell swoop. And sometimes it's, again, useful and helpful to me to kind of work on things in small chunks. I'll just stop there. Hopefully people will have questions about the material that they see. I love questions. Sometimes, in fact, people's readings, even if they're not mine, and you know, even if they're different from the readings I intend, can be really, really useful. I know that they're useful for me in terms of my own production. I misread things all the time, and I kind of actively misread certain things, and I kind of take my misreadings